This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Whawhia te kite mao tauranga, fill the basket of knowledge. Welcome, library lovers, to Slanza Sessions, a podcast to celebrate school libraries and all of the people who inhabit them. We want to share our love of books for youth and young people and our passion for school libraries. We'll be asking questions and seeking answers about how we can all ensure the school library maintains its valuable place in the New Zealand literacy and education landscape. I'm Alan Dingley, and along with Sasha Eastwood and Chris Auer, we'll be bringing you interviews, reviews, views and more. We look forward to having you along for the ride.
Kia ora koutou katoa. Welcome to Slanza Sessions, everyone.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. I'm in the studio with my favourite people. We've already done our bloody psychiatrist check-in with each other and done the raging and bloody all of that sort of stuff. So we've done that. Now we get to speak to our lovely people out there with their ears a-flapping. To see what we're going to be chatting. Well, they're doing their dishes or mowing the lawns.
Processing
books. Yeah.
Bit of crocheting maybe. Yeah.
Just out for a run. you sit there with the wine and the brownie people. That's our kind of peeps.
Some of our people would be runners.
I'm sure they are, and good on you people. I can't connect with you on that level, but well done. But that's why my dad bod is expanding as we speak. So enough of that about that. News. Let's go straight into it. Who's got something exciting?
I think I have something exciting to share.
Tell us, Ash.
I can announce that we are working on a regional hui in Invercargill this year. How cool is that?
Whoop.
I don't think we've ever done any kind of regional hui or conference in Invercargill. So this is really...
I don't know what, hidden wee gem down there.
Yep. It's going to be in the spring, so it's
They've got lovely gardens.
28th and 29th of September in Invercargill. We're being hosted by the lovely Kirsty Adams at James Hargest College.
Ooh,
I'm excited
it's
about that.
It's a lovely
that.
Library. Oh.
And there's some really cool things. I love the fact that the southern skies aspect of it, you know, we might see the aurora.
Oh, you're true there.
You know, we're going to be, you know, that, what's that clear sky?
Light pollution sort of thing.
Sky
dark sanctuary. Yeah, something
thing.
Like,
light
pollution. We're going to be away from light pollution.
The beach there and you look up and see the satellites. And yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
You know, so Starlink coming over in the start of the Terminator movie.
That's right. Yeah, anyway. So book that in. Book that in September, Monday, Tuesday.
Monday afternoon, Tuesday all day.
Do you know off the top of your head if that's the first week of term or if that's
the first week of the holidays.
Of the holidays.
Of the September.
Fantastic. Even better, I'll be away from my children. I love my children.
That's exciting.
Yes, very much so.
It'll be news out soon, and it'll be on our website. So keep checking in, and there's going to be we've found some accommodation deals for people.
Excellent.
And
get a car together, do a road trip.
Road trip,
mate.
When's the Bluff oyster season? Because you're not far from Bluff, are we?
Yeah, no, definitely not. See, so many things to do.
Anyway.
Bit of Gore, bit of Cromwell, bit of Invercargill. So, awesome. Well done, people down there, for getting that over the line. And that's just so awesome. People should be really excited about that. Don't think there's any other news. We just want to let everyone know that Chris, Sash and Alan are one assignment away.
The
study we keep blatting on about, and we had another stressful week last week. Chris was our cheerleader.
Checking with Sash and I. It must be stressful for you because you had to keep us going, Chris.
I made a late change and decided I was going to use Epic as a kind of a research thing, didn't I? Because I was away from home and school network.
Yeah.
I couldn't access it at the hotel.
And
I couldn't get into it and I couldn't find passwords.
Oh, we're learning lots, aren't we?
But shout out to the Epic organiser. Someone was on leave and I still got an email next day saying, hey, sorry, I didn't get back to you sooner. Use this as a login. I was like, oh, thank you. But I was only 3 hours away from my deadline. So I had to just, did I just pull it out of the posterior?
So there was quite a few sweary messages between Alan and I.
Yeah.
I didn't get those.
Last week.
We were trying to keep you out of it, and you would have been asleep, actually, probably, Chris.
It was a late one.
It was quite late.
I had 26 minutes to spare. How many did you have in the end? No, maybe it was a bit earlier.
Yeah, I think you were a bit earlier. I had like 10 minutes up my sleeve. So yeah. 11.50 p.m.
So we are one assignment away. End of May, or the week after.
Interestingly, my daughter said, "Shall we?" Because she's studying at the moment too, and she said, I said, I know, it's due on the 31st of May, and she goes, what do you think about doing it before the deadline, Mum?
That's crazy talk.
I know, right?
And sure, like, I did contemplate that, but I know it's not going to happen.
I'd be second-guessing myself the whole time during the many extensions that we can get.
I mean, what a way to finish, though. That would be pretty good. But you don't need to know that, but that's just for us.
And we're going to have a big graduation. Should we have a podcast graduation?
Can we do it live from each pub? Because we're going to do a wee graduation pub crawl around Palmerston North.
Come with us. Yeah. Join us and on our celebration.
We'll read live to you after the 8th pub and see how we go.
Anyway,
fun times. And also, we welcome back to the studio.
We do.
Fourth member, friend of the show.
Yes.
Luminary in the industry.
Our lighthouse.
Our lighthouse, yeah. Miriam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So we are, we've talked about previously, that 2025 National Survey of School Libraries in Aotearoa, New Zealand. The findings are out and are on the National Library website.
This is the sixth survey. Sixth National Survey of School Libraries in Aotearoa, New Zealand since 2018.
Yeah, and looking through this thing, mate, this is no stone left unturned. Like, literally, when people are like, sometimes when you do these things earlier on, people go, oh, but you didn't ask me about this, or I don't feel seen because of this. Man, if you're not seen in the survey, you're not a librarian.
No. Because
everything
is
covered.
So we didn't do one last year because we had the Aotearoa School Library Research Project being run by NZCER
in 2024.
And we had the report come out from that.
That's right. We decided that the
2024 we didn't do one because we decided that people might be a bit survey
weary.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes. And we skipped a year after COVID as well. But, yeah, so six in 8 years.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a 10-year kind of review might be a nice thing do next. But anyway, we'll see.
So core sample, 438 responses, representing 409 schools.
Yes.
Is that a good sample? What's that compared to other years, though, Miriam?
It's better than the last couple of years. Okay. Our very first survey was the best, where we had, I think, 22% with around 500-odd schools.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been... We've had a dip and then a bit of a rise again.
And you guys do say in the survey that the survey response do not fully reflect national school demographics. Findings should be interpreted with those limitations in mind.
Because we never hear from every school.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of reasons why. But we're still quite confident that it's a pretty good representation.
Yeah.
Some people are better represented. Urban schools we heard from more proportionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And, you know, smaller rural primary schools we don't hear from the same proportion as what those schools actually exist, because that's, you know, there's a massive percentage of schools in the real world.
Yeah.
But we're pretty satisfied with that, yeah.
I printed out the executive summary and the introduction. I loved the bit about principals. I know that we're actually here because of the support that we get from our senior leadership teams. A lot of us exist because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always happy to hear from principals, especially those ones who support libraries in their schools.
Yeah. We had a cross-section, even though it wasn't a huge number of principals. We had a variety. There was, some from big urban high schools and some from tiny little primary schools out in the country. So it's, you know, a range of views about the school library, but principals as a group are so crucial to the success of any school library that, yeah, it's interesting to hear what they think.
Have we asked from them before?
We've always invited anyone.
Yeah.
And we've encouraged school library staff, who are mostly the people responding, always to share with anyone in their school, but, you know, including their senior leaders. Mm. And so we always get a few. I think in that very first survey, which was the biggest, we heard from something like 80 principals.
Wow.
But our questions were different. This is the first survey we've done where we targeted a group of questions just for principals to find out, you know, what were their aspirations for the library, what were the challenges that they faced.
And so how did that sit? So were you – were there any surprises in those responses or?
Not really. No. You know, that's the thing about these surveys, and to some extent also with the project with NZCER, that we haven't really had surprises. No. What we've had confirms what we know in our hearts to be true, just from our own experience with school libraries. But even that, you know, having that confirmation means that in any conversations with whatever stakeholders, you know that what you're saying is backed up by some evidence, basically. So it's good. But not there weren't really any surprises. The principals who responded, like you were saying, Sash, probably ones who are very pro-library.
Yeah.
And you can see that in some of the comments that they've left as well, where a couple of them said things like, you know, I don't feel that I need more support with developing my library. I'm cool.
Yeah.
But I'm the only one in my school, so if I left, that would be different. And you know from, like, so many times on the podcast you've talked about something changes in the school, the principal, you get a new principal, everything's up in the air.
Yeah.
So there's that. But there were also principals who said, I'm fine in my school, but I'm, you know, pretty gutted when I go into some other schools and see what it's like for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We need to capture that, don't we, I think, somehow. Mm.
Well, these reports do capture some of that. We have a lot of data. You know, we ask questions where what we get in return gives us percentages and dollar values on things, and that's great. Yeah. But I always try to add lots of comments in, because the things that people say in there, you know, would you like to say anything else about your staffing or your budget or whatever, those comments really help to tell the story and illustrate what those findings mean for real people in real schools.
Yep.
Some of them are wonderful and they tell you, you know, we're doing all sorts of stuff. My senior leaders are so supportive of me and I feel really valued. And it really runs the whole gamut from that kind of wonderful experience to others who are really struggling and they feel isolated or, you know, undervalued, and they're working hard but feel like they're falling behind. So, the comments are uplifting and kind of heartbreaking at the same time.
Exactly. And as you said, the going through this, you'd swim in the data, you'd probably drown, but then these lovely quotes, you know, that just pop up across all of them. Like, and as you said, the principals, the first one, the first line is, our school library is, in many ways, the centrepiece of the school, you know, and that's for a first line. It's just,
That's very heartening, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. Yeah. And so looking at, like, what the library is used for, you know, the space, schedules, class sessions, the high school like mine, Chris probably knows that social space or break time hangout is you've got the percentage of you know 85% 98% secondary saying it's a social space at break and lunchtime, and it's, you know, for me it's definitely it. So those library activities I never put on at lunchtime, you know, and that's obviously reflected there, which is, you know, that sort of lines up with the work that we do.
And it's tied into that. You know, one of the things, so the principal's questions were kind of new. Then the next lot of questions we asked were about library services. So that is like, what is the library offering learners and support for teachers and families and whānau? What do those services look like to support reading for pleasure, information literacy, wellbeing, all those sorts of things. And the space part of it, how is your space used? There's a close link, I think, between that and the role of the library in supporting wellbeing, which when we look at the findings this year, we can see, what are the things that are happening often and, where is the library seen as most important by the principals again. Everybody's in agreement that reading for pleasure is a key part of what your library is there to support. But then what is interesting to me, I think, is that over the many years, there's been a shift away from, an importance matching that to do with curriculum support.
Yeah.
And I think as that has changed, you've also seen a rise in the importance of the library in supporting student wellbeing. And it's not just the space, it's the fact that you have a person or a team of people who make it a place that where students feel safe. It's not just, we've got a library room.
Yes.
But you're creating that environment that is a safe space and it's really welcoming and kids can just relax there. Yeah. It's different to any other space in the school.
Oh, yeah, hugely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We had a parents coming and having a look at our school today. Our principal shows them around, and they come always. The first stop is always the library, and and one of the things a parent asked, which I thought was interesting, was, "Is the library open at lunch times on weekdays?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Jared said, "Oh, our library is open every lunchtime.
Yeah,
yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, and they were quite." It was almost kind of a relief that there was a space in the school where their children could go to decompress or, just exist without any pressures, that might occur in the playground. So that was quite nice to hear.
Yeah.
That there is, from the parents' perspective, there is that.
Yeah.
They do see the library as that space.
Even looking at the community connections contribute library services and other quotes, and I like that you've put quotes in that obviously, not saying they're not positive, but like the reflection of what's still out there. And one of the quotes, "Our library is run like a military operation. No talking or sharing books. Everything alphabetized. I mean everything. Children chastised for not returning books on due date. Outdated collection. All old-fashioned issuing and returns, cards and slips and due date stamps, 2 books only a week, 1 week issuing, 1 visit a week for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, if that's what they have to do to fuel and make it run, but it's just that is, I think I can confidently say, the library of old.
I would say
I'm
so.
Surprised still libraries like that exist.
It's not my library.
No, absolutely. No. Although I love the idea of a good card slip, due date stamp. Oh, it takes me back.
Literally everything else.
But it's saying is that there's still work to do for everyone, and all it needs is one person to step into that space. Hopefully, that goes, hey, this could be a much. Can I use the word warmer space?
Yeah.
Just the people that are in that kura to step into other library spaces and see what could also. I mean, that might work really well for that kura, though.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
And I'm saying it may be the only option they have.
That's right.
So
that's
awesome that it's there.
Yeah.
It has a bit of a feel to it of there is a person who wants it that way.
Yeah.
And, maybe that is they're doing it that way and it's working for them. But my personal feeling about the library and the way that it's managed is the library doesn't belong to the librarian.
No.
It's a school. Yeah. It's a huge asset to the school.
No, it's mine. It's all mine.
My precious. I just feel like two heads are better than one when it comes to that kind of thing. And having some flexibility, understanding what everybody needs, I mean, maybe that's working for them, but yeah.
Did you see any changes with the, because after that, talking about services, it goes into library staffing and employment. Have you seen any trend changes?
Well, there's always a bit of change, like we noticed, for instance, this time that for the intermediate school staff who responded, there has been a distinct shift from how many are working full-time in the library compared to how many were working more than one role in their school.
Right.
And so within a particular type of school, we see fluctuations. But the key thing to remember about these surveys is it's not the same schools or people responding every year. So we've done six surveys, and there was only a tiny number of schools who've done every survey.
Wow, cool.
So we've heard from a lot of schools over those years.
Yeah.
But we haven't got a lot of kind of repeat customers that really drops off. Lots have done one. Fewer schools have done two of the surveys. So we're not actually getting data from the same schools each year.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are the same, but not many. So that's interesting. So there's always these fluctuations up and down, and you can see it as well in the collections budgets. If you look at individual school types, you see more variation. But when you look at, if we just do a blanket, what are school libraries as a whole like, staffing and budgets have not really changed all that much. So in terms of staffing, virtually everyone is still working only term time in their library, so 40 weeks plus whatever, small leave allowance. Hardly any staff work, are employed for the full 52 years. There's often some who get a few extra weeks or a few extra days in the year.
It is so rare. And I mean, I've moved into that space, but that's because I'm doing deaning as well as library. So it's, for the people, it's such a, gosh, what a blessing that must be.
Yeah. So, that hasn't changed. People working, secondary school people mainly working full-time versus intermediate and primary school people mainly working part-time. That has not changed. I don't think that will ever change. It's kind of the economies of scale issue there. Budgets, again, have not really fluctuated much. So from the previous survey in 2023, if we looked across all the responding schools, their collection budget was something like $10.03, and now it's $10.28. So that's not a big fluctuation, but if you break it down into the particular school types, you can see that year by year they do go up and down quite a bit. And you could see, like in previous years, composite schools with a lot of international students were hit hard when COVID happened and they lost their international fee-paying students, where a lot of that revenue was channelled into the library and they just didn't replace it. So there's going to be fluctuations, but when we look at the overall picture, it's pretty flat. So that's interesting, but good to know.
The recommendations, I like recommendations.
Yes.
I mean, it's a little bit, National Library has to be careful about what recommendations, I guess, you support or, reflect on. But I like the fact that here it's got the, treat the school library as a core learning infrastructure.
Yes.
We can all get behind that.
Absolutely.
Ensure paid staff time is sufficient to develop and sustain library services that meet learners' needs. Mm. And I think that's the thing. We need to make sure that we keep aligning ourselves with our school strategic plan, and make sure we keep aligning our services to the needs of our school community, be that, staff, students or whānau. So,
As you said earlier, the librarian doesn't own the library.
It's
got to reflect the school and the community.
Anything else that the school is doing. The library's goals should be to support the school's goals.
Yes.
You're not there to do something different than, you know, create literate students who love learning and feel safe and, you know, enjoy a good read.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what everyone wants.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing something different. So, but, you know, there is always advocacy work to be done, and that's where Slanzer has a somewhat different role than National Library. So we provide the support.
Yep.
And I think information like what we have in this survey is really vital for as part of those advocacy efforts. So I've just responded to somebody on the listserv who has experienced some drastic budget cuts, you know, with advice about what you're saying, tying what the library does to helping achieve the school's goals. Mm. And that it's sort of like there are a couple of things you really need for that advocacy to be effective. It's like understanding what your school community needs and providing services that support that. But when it comes to resourcing, it's helping your school leaders understand what investment is required to do that.
Yeah.
And the data in this survey series gives that. So you can say, well, you know, perhaps a budget of around $10 per student would be something we could consider. You know, if our goal is providing a range of resources that are going to support reading for pleasure, learning across the curriculum, and it's got to cater for these age levels and abilities and interests, what does the collection need to look like? What kind of investment would we need to achieve that?
Yeah.
Is it $10? Perhaps that we can use that as a starting point and see, you know, what's going to work for our school. Interestingly, one of the questions we asked principals was about would they be interested in a library funding model that was like what schools have for guidance counsellors. So depending on your role, like in secondary schools, that is funded not through the ops grant but separately. And, you know, so could we, for instance, fund a library in a way that looked at your role and said maybe you should have this amount of collection money or staffing?
Yeah.
One of the responding principals said they did not support that because they already provide, I think, like thousands of dollars for their library, and they felt that a per student
model
wouldn't give them as much as what they were already investing. And to me, that really highlights the variation.
Yeah.
Like there would be nothing to stop principals investing whatever they felt they could in their library, regardless of a baseline.
Yeah,
yeah.
A baseline is exactly that, isn't it?
Yes.
It's something.
Something
you found. So it's kind of you know, alleviates that kind of equity.
That's right.
You know, and gives some principals who aren't aware of the benefits of libraries or the way or the how to properly fund a library or staffing. It gives them guidance. It's not saying this is all you should.
This is all you can have. Yeah. It's not like, well, you know, we'll give you this amount and that's it.
Yeah.
Done. Anyway.
Well, there's so much to unpack, but as always, runs out of time because we have such amazing guests on that we could just keep going all day. But basically, just head to the National Library website and have a look at it. Have a read through it. I guarantee you'll find something on there that'll either surprise you or you'll find a pleasant comparison to what you're doing, or it might give you food for thought or that confidence to go to your SLT and principal. And that advocacy. And always reach out because, you know, we've all got each other's back. We're happy to help advocate and say how we went about it, how we pitched ourselves. But thank you, Miriam, as always. And thank you for this mahi. It's amazing stuff that it's when it comes out and me just going through it just like, holy cow, finding things we could keep talking about. So wondrous. Thank you so much, everyone out there, for listening. Hope you're having a good term so far. We know that term three with the winter, the cold, the dark, 11 weeks, it can be tough. So hang in there. Reach out to people if you need to.
We've got a break soon, though.
Yeah, Mental Health Week has been around, so there's a break coming up. Look after yourselves. Hello to all those listeners. I have to do a shout out to Parker from Doug. Hope you're doing well, mate. Thank you, everyone. We will talk again soon. Ka kite anō.
Ka kite.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts,
Google Podcasts and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.